podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
He's going to outrace his partners and outrace everybody. In the secondary he goes, and he will not be caught. Touchdown, Chicago.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Ho.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
That just happened.
Tom Brokaw is a punk.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Yeah, like a spider monkey.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Obsession.
My oh my!
Being obsessed.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
Shake and bake.
Well, welcome to America, amigo.
Go on and get some, boys.
Okay, so the Bears take care of business at Soldier Field today. Wasn't always pretty, Adam Johns, but when you're playing the Jets in a game you should win, a win.
They won.
They even covered.
Yeah, they covered handedly.
Yeah.
Did the line get up to 9 points? Did I hear that correctly?
Oh, I didn't
before
see
the game?
That. Maybe it did. I just
Chicago moving the books again. But look, yeah, wasn't pretty. Kind of rainy, kind of windy. You did what you have to do. You won. It's all that matters.
Welcome in episode 185 of the Hogan Johns podcast. Bears end a two-game losing streak and get the victory today over the Jets. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. All post-game reaction up at WGNRadio.com, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Well, I mean, what's your biggest takeaway? I think it was interesting that the Bears' defense played well without Khalil Mack. That, I think, had a lot to do with what I was. We were talking about this on Thursday. I didn't really think the Jets were that good offensively.
No, they were missing a lot of guys, too. Yeah, yeah.
But the decision to sit Mack certainly paid off because he gets a week of rest and your defense played well enough. Although the pass rush really wasn't there, they certainly played well enough to get the win.
Right, this wasn't the Patriots. Obviously, I think the Bears were willing to, I don't want to say rush, but risk, whatever you want to call it, Mack and even Allen Robinson last week against the Patriots, they knew they were the more talented team. Did it always look like it? Absolutely not. The defense needed to get off the field a few times. I mean, Eddie Jackson's penalty, that's another story.
Ooh.
But I thought the defense struggled in certain moments. But the offense struggled in certain moments, too. Only had 7 points in the first half. Cody Parkey missed a field goal. It was almost too close for comfort for a while, but the Bears were clearly the better team.
Sure, but to your point, I mean, the three phases weren't always there in this game. The offense really struggled in the first half, other than the screen pass to Tariq Cohen, which opened up. I mean, he's at the 30-yard line, and he knows you have a touchdown. That's how wide open that screen was. But beyond that play, there really wasn't anything going offensively early. Mitch Trubisky was missing throws again. The defense played well, but they couldn't come up with that big play.
Yeah. Yeah,
like that game-changing play. Kyle Fuller jumped too early. That should have been an easy interception. He didn't
throw a ball.
There's been too many of those moments in his career where he's got opportunities to get an interception. Doesn't come through, although it's been better this year. And then that Eddie Jackson play, too. I mean, that's just completely unnecessary in that moment when, okay, I can maybe he doesn't have the ball. That's bang, bang. I can get with you a little bit on that argument.
Yeah.
The problem is he's like 7 yards short of the sticks on third down there. You just need to wrap up and get him down. You don't have to go for the big hit.
Yeah. Look, I get Eddie Jackson's viewpoint. When you're running that fast, it's hard to slow down. It is a naturally violent game, but it's a game where you can't hit anymore.
Right, you got to get used to it.
And you have to, yeah, you have to adjust. You have to understand that you cannot make plays like that anymore, especially if the pass is not complete. That clearly gave the Jets some second life, and the Bears' offense helped nix that. But, yeah, you just have to realize, defenders have to realize now that the hits of yesterday no longer exist in this game.
But I do think there were some good things that happened offensively today, and we learned a little bit more about it after the game. And of course, the bad thing is Kyle Long's injury. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Mitch was off in the first half, but in the second half, They go touchdown, field goal, touchdown, and that second touchdown especially was after that came after the Jets scored. You needed a response. They really got the running game going. Charles Leno said that there was a tendency they were reading with Jamal Adams coming down in the box where they knew that they could run by him, and that's what they were having success with. There on that specific drive, the last touchdown drive,
the one where he pulled, took out the outside linebacker in that the big run,
yes,
by Jordan Howard, the
yes,
big hole. Charles Leno had a good block on that play.
So I think, and then we learned on the Anthony Miller touchdown, he and Trubisky and Miller weren't really connecting early, but they get together on the touchdown. Mitch said he changed Miller's route at the line of scrimmage before the snap and then threw it back shoulder to the backside because that was the only place
away from the coverage
he could get it to, and those guys were on the same page there. Miller made a nice adjustment to catch the ball, get his feet in bounds. So I continue to be impressed, and I think there's weekly improvement with Mitch in how he's reading the field, the experience he's getting with this offense and operating the offense. Obviously, the accuracy, the footwork, the mechanics, those things are not consistent. He needs to improve that consistency. But I do think it's still encouraging overall, the operation of this very complex offense. I think it's getting better each and every week.
He still played well enough to win. Mm-hmm. Pat Finley, my sometimes colleague, and I were debating words to use to describe Mitch Trubisky's performance, and I said he was fine. And he's like, are you saying he was really good? I'm not saying he was really good. No, he
was fine.
He was fine.
It's kind of like the Bears in general today.
Yeah, they're fine. You know, he was good in some moments. I think people underrate the difficulty of, well, not only playing the position, but making back shoulder throws like that or staring down a zero blitz and getting the ball over the top to a small guy like Tariq Cohen. Did you see that play? The way James Daniels looks at Tariq Cohen and has to duck the pass. You know, he didn't get out in front of Tariq Cohen like he should have been. He was kind of late, but it still worked out for the Bears' benefit. That could be a difficult throw when you have a lot of guys running at you. He was the bait on that play, as he called himself, and he executed that well.
Well, and that play, I think, is another example of Nagy's smart play calling. You know, they were looking for that exact look. So you're calling the play before you know what look you're going to get, but that's based on tendencies and studying and looking at studying your opponent. So Nagy was hoping to get a zero blitz there. They called the screen against it, and then Mitch said he walked the line of scrimmage and realized that's what they were in. And then there's a really small detail to that play that Matt Bowen, he explained on Twitter very well, which is, you know, the defenses are also trained to look for a screen, especially when you call a zero blitz. So if all of a sudden you're rushing and you start to see the running back leak out, there's a peel. Somebody's supposed to peel back.
Yeah, usually the linebacker or defensive end.
And that did not happen on this play, and Matt Bowen pointed out, and actually Mitch Trubisky pointed it out also, confirming this after the game, that the way in which they released Tariq Cohen instead of to the outside, which is more obvious to bring that peel, they released him to the inside, kind of snuck him out where you're not really looking for that. So those are the small
details. 5-6 guys can do that.
That's a good point. But I think what you're seeing there is what we didn't see from this offense last year under that coaching staff. Matt Nagy.
The ability to recognize something and adjust.
You have the right play call. You have the quarterback understanding that they have the right call before the ball is snapped. And then you see the details in that within the play work out so that when Tariq Cohen catches that football, there's nothing but green grass in front of him.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a guy that talented, that threatening for defenses, be that wide open. I think he was even a bit shocked by it. Like, he turned around like, holy moly, there's nobody in front of me.
Yeah.
Heck of a block by Taylor Gabriel. If we're going to single out that play.
Because he was really the one blocker downfield.
That's it. Yeah, he was his lead blocker. And then Cohen just raced into the end zone. But, yeah, the identification, the operation of the play, starting with Trubisky. Look, it was exceptional. Yeah, it was one highlight, but it was still executed well.
All right. Unfortunately, the one big negative in this game is Kyle Long. Sort of in garbage.
I can't get a break, man.
And it's in garbage time, late. Gets rolled up on, and It'll be interesting to see. I don't... Do you think it's encouraging at all that there wasn't a more of a...
Yeah, because Nagy's been kind of forthright. But just reading the locker room, you were in there, man. Mm-hmm. Well, when players are walking across to give you a hug, or a player mid-interview leaves the interview, sees you, gives you a hug where you bump heads and stuff like that, and it's pretty emotional.
Who did that?
Jordan Howard.
Okay.
So if you have that happening, it's usually... Not pretty good. Somber, and some of the if you listen to some of the voice inflection and some of the guys, some of the offensive linemen, they seemed somber at times. Then they gave you the old standard, you know, we don't know, we hope for the best at the end. But he's going to miss time,
right?
How much is to be determined. Matt Nagy called it a foot injury, but God, just in general, for a guy who is naturally gifted athletically, who could be the nasty player you need in the middle of your line, you just can't get a break. Absolutely horrendous injuries for him over the past several years.
And just to clarify, Matt Nagy called it a foot. I followed up just to make sure. I, you know, basically asked straight up, did he re-injure his ankle? And he said he didn't think so. Take it for what it's worth. I mean,
yeah, it's the same ankle that got completely shredded against the Buccaneers. What a couple!
But
years
is it
ago.
An ankle or a foot?
You know what
I mean?
It's all connected. You know, the knee bone is connected to the neck bone or something like that.
I don't think the knee bone is connected to the neck.
I don't know the song, Adam. I'm not in kindergarten anymore. It sucks. It absolutely sucks for a player who has played through a lot of injuries, who has been a great teammate through some tumultuous times here, who deserves some winnings, who deserves some victories with the turnaround here that seems to be afoot. It sucks. It really sucks for Kyle Long.
Well, I'll take some of the blame because I talked on Thursday about how they'd only sent two players to IR all season. But that's worth bringing up because, look, it's obviously a tough break for Kyle Long, especially that same right foot, ankle, neck, whatever you want to call it. But as a whole, this team's been very healthy.
Yes, yes. Well, not today.
Well,
Khalil Mack sat out. Allen Robinson sat out.
But I'm talking about catastrophic injuries.
Yes.
You know, if worst-case scenario is Kyle Long's out for the rest of the season, it's a blow, and you got to figure that out. But there are teams all around the league that have 5, 6, 7 players like that at this point.
Oh, it's a nasty sport. Let's be honest. Injuries are everything, and staying healthy is everything, or as healthy as can be. You know those other guys playing right now for the Bears that are nicked up, dinged up, all that stuff. But, look, it's just a tough blow. I want to reiterate, it sucks. It sucks for a player who has been through some crap seasons mm-hmm. for the Bears. And here they are. Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky, a bunch of things that signal a turnaround. He's out. He's hurt. Sucks.
And now you got to hope Eric Kush is healthy by next week.
Yeah,
he sat out
stinger stuff.
With that stinger. So, and that is actually a neck injury, which is connected to the knee bone or whatever you said.
All right. Do not cut that clip and start using that.
So you got to hope he's ready by next week. One of them's going to have to play left guard.
I don't even think there's a knee bone.
James Daniels connected to the right guard.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what. I don't even know what's happening anymore. They're both going to have to play next week.
Yes, yes. You need Eric Kush to figure out his neck. James Daniels, we need to look at the film. I sound like a coach and player, but you never really know how an offensive lineman plays until you watch the film. It seemed a bit uneven because the running game didn't get started until late.
And the rushing numbers are a little bit misleading.
Hey, I hit my bold prediction, I think.
Well, you did, actually. You said that Jordan Howard would rush for 80 yards. He ran for 81. And he vultured Mitch Trubisky's third touchdown, which would have been my bold prediction. But as is the case most weeks with me, close, but not quite there.
Yeah. Well, the Kevin White thing was near miraculous, but yes. He had a good catch today, negated by a penalty.
Oh, yeah. Talk about tough breaks.
Yeah.
That was arguably the most important catch of his career. A huge third down. They're going to get a roughing the passer penalty on top of it. They're going to be in the red zone.
It was Kyle Long,
in the second quarter, and Kyle Long with a stupid penalty brings it all back.
Yeah, yeah. That's Trubisky's best throw in the first half. Very uneven first half.
Sure.
Pretty uneven performance overall. I thought he was fine. Good. I think good qualifies as fine. Was he great? No. But he made enough plays to win the game.
This is a very unscientific way of telling if a guy is set up for better things ahead, though. This is, once again, a game where Trubisky, it doesn't feel like he played great. His quarterback rating was over 100 again. And yep. I know quarterback passer rating is somewhat flawed, but two touchdowns, no interceptions. It's 102.7. It still got some meaning. I brought up the fantasy numbers last week. Once again, a nice fantasy performance again today. So you're seeing, how many quarterbacks have the Bears had in the past where you're like, oh, they played pretty well with like an 80 rating and like 10 fantasy points. You're like, oh, they played pretty well, but they don't really produce a lot of points and they don't produce victories.
Yeah, yeah. Jay Cutler was never a QB1. Like in a 12-team league?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
not starting Jay Cutler. I saw an article the other day that called Trubisky a QB1. That's after what happened against the Patriots. I mean, they put up 31 points against the Patriots. He ran for a lot of yards. I think that helps. But he had 6 carries for 51 yards. I know a couple of those were scrambles. That does help the fantasy point production. But they're moving the ball. Is it all perfect? Absolutely not. He airmailed some throws. You know, some did hit guys in the hands. I don't know where you stand in the old receiver coach philosophy. If it hits you in the hands, you got to catch it. But, yes, the accuracy things will stand out to some of his critics again, but he still played well enough to win. It's all that matters in the end.
As for Howard, I mean, he did pick up your 81 yards for you on 22 carries, though, only averaged 3.7 a game. And 24 of those came on one rush.
Yes, so not exactly.
There were too
not efficient,
many.
Yes,
like negative, not borderline negative, no gain, 1 yard runs.
So, like my feeling about the offensive line, I kept making note of it. I'm like, why is Jordan Howard being met by a defensive lineman at like after a yard?
But on some
it seemed
of those,
to be frequent.
And I want to go back and look at the tape closely because on some of them it actually felt like the blocks were still being made, that there was just guys left unblocked.
Yeah, yeah.
So it almost tells me that's the scheme a little bit, too.
Yeah, it's got to see the film, I guess. I sound like a coach and a player.
But give the Jets credit, too.
Yeah, and it's not a bad defensive front. I don't know. Leonard Williams is an outstanding football player.
And the Bears' run defense was outstanding today, too. Got to give them a lot of credit. Isaiah Crowell, 1.9 yards per carry. Cannon, 1.7 yards per carry.
What did you think of Darnold? Since we're going to overreact and analyze every quarterback's throw these days.
I still like him, but you know, the things I was saying about Mitch a few minutes ago about how while his throws were off, everything with the offense still seemed like it was clicking's not the right word, but he was in command of the offense. He just wasn't really delivering the throws.
Darnold, yeah.
I'm talking about Mitch now.
Mitch, okay.
I'm saying I felt the opposite with Darnold. I felt like things were off.
Okay.
I felt like there were pre-snap penalties. There was confusion. There were timeouts.
It felt very meh. You know, like there was
he
some,
looked like the rookie, which he is.
Well, he is. It kind of reminded me of Trubisky's situation last year. I was talking to one of the Jets beat reporters. I'm like, you know, Trubisky went through some of this crap last year when you have practice squad guys as your receivers and you're an experienced quarterback. You have injuries on your offensive line. You may have some questionable play calling and philosophies afoot. I think Darnold's experiencing some of those things right now. I think maybe he's flashed a bit more than Trubisky did over a course of a few games last year, but yeah, I don't know. He was meh to me. You know, Trubisky was fine. He was good enough. Darnold, didn't see too much.
I mean, in general, this wasn't the prettiest football game in the world, let's be honest.
No.
But you get the win. Comfortable win.
Yeah. Look, you got to beat these bad teams. The Bills are next. 5-3. You get Mac back. You get Allen Robinson back. Things change a bit. You got some developing chemistry with Anthony Miller going on. You know, Taylor Gabriel had a couple nice catches. Tariq Cohen is still your best playmaker. There's reasons to be optimistic, people. There really are.
I had the TV call in my ear today.
Just that you wanted some Romo.
Nance and Romo. And so most of our listeners, at least the ones that were not at the game, probably watched the same way. Romo seemed very complimentary about the Bears. Like, at least 5 or 6 times said something to the effect that this team is really close to breaking out.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, yeah. He really likes the roster, it seems like.
Well, you saw it against the Patriots. There's the Anthony Miller examples.
Mm-hmm.
You were like one of the first to see it, then you watched the film, and there it was. You know,
I put my money where my mouth is, not real money, but all that I wrote and said about Anthony Miller being a sleeper in fantasy. I woke up this morning. He was on the free agent wire. I said, if I'm going to say all this stuff, I better act on it.
You get about 9 points out of that. That's not too bad.
13.
13? Oh, your point system's a bit different than mine, but yeah.
Well, no, you got a touchdown.
Yeah, only 30 yards receiving.
Yeah, but then 3 points per...
PPR. PPR. Okay, I'm not in a PPR.
There's your extra 3 points.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
What are you, communist? Yeah. You don't do PPR?
I guess I am a communist.
Whoa. There's a soundbite.
Do not use that one. Ever.
Joe?
Ever. No, Joe? Joe, just skip through this. Yeah, we're very anti-communist here. But anyway, you know what? It does feel that way, going back to Romo's comments. But you still want to see it, right? And I guess that it's the only way you're going to believe it, right? You could be close, but you need to fulfill these plays. You got to complete these plays, complete these throws. It does feel that way in some instances, and I think some of it today was just them playing down to the Jets. It was an odd game. I don't know how much the factor the win really was. I know Trubisky answered your question saying it was, but yeah, kind of odd.
Do you know who tied for the team lead in receptions today? Josh Bellamy.
How about that?
But only four.
Yeah, yeah. I see there's a guy where when Trubisky overthrew him on the sideline, that one sailed on him, but like I had no faith in that being completed whatsoever. Although look, he had a couple catches, yeah, over the middle. Trubisky put one right into his chest at one point.
Oh yeah, he drilled that one.
Yeah.
He drilled that one. Should we hear from either the head coach or the quarterback?
Let's do the quarterback.
The quarterback
Dressed as Mike Ditka,
even wore the sunglasses to the podium. I was hoping he would wear them the whole time, but he took them off for questions. Here is Mitch Trubisky after the game, after the Bears beat the Jets.
Mitch, what did you think of your second half compared to the first half today?
Yeah, it was good. We wanted to stay aggressive, and they were doing a good job stopping us in the first half, but we also stopped ourselves a little bit there. We just need to continue to get in the rhythm. We did a great job getting the run game going. I think O-line did a great job up front, and I just need to be more consistent and finding completions and not trying to force a big play, just trying to move the ball and continue to convert on third downs. I think we could be better on third down today. But overall, we just found a way and grinded it out, and it was a lot better in the second half than it was in the first half. So it was just we stuck together and stuck to the plan and continued to execute our plays.
Anthony said he was anticipating the back shoulder throw on that touchdown. What did you see coverage-wise?
For sure. That's something we talked about. They zoned us out down in the red zone as we expected, and I gave him a corner route, changed his route, and the defender didn't have eyes back to me, and he was trying to look for the ball, and Anthony did, and I threw it in the spot where only Anthony could catch it, and he made a great play. He kept his feet in bounds and snagged the ball. So great job by our O-line up front, giving us protection, giving me time to find Anthony, and that's what we expect out of 17, to just go up, make plays, and get the ball.
He's a new player.
Did this offense progress? Did you guys have to adjust? Was it just improvement throughout?
Yeah, there's always adjustments that you make throughout the game. They did a good job on defense mixing it up, but I think it was more just of us getting in rhythm. Executing our plays, establishing the run game, being good on first and second down so we don't see a lot of their junk package on third down so they don't throw a bunch of different looks at us, and just keeping them on their heels instead of them just pulling their ears back and blitzing and coming after us. So we wanted to just stay on the offensive, stay aggressive, keep getting first downs, and find ways to finish in the red zone. So we just got to continue to take care of the football, play good defense, and special teams did great today as well. So it was all around a great team win.
Mitch, what is going into developing a connection with Anthony so that on a play like that, you know what you're going to do. He knows to expect the same thing, and you guys come away with it.
For sure. It's just repetition. It's just like in practice. Fridays are a big red zone day, so just get as many reps and looks, because it's never going to happen exactly how you plan it to be in practice. Sometimes it does, and we love that, but you just got to adjust on the field, and that was an adjustment we made, and I just trusted him that when I put the ball up that he's going to go get it, and he made an awesome play. So you just got to continue to build that chemistry, and when you keep doing doing that, then you could throw the ball wherever, and it always just seems you guys are on one brain wavelength, and he knows what I'm thinking, and I know what he's thinking. So just the more reps and more times we could throw together, the more times we'll be on the same page.
And you changed the route at the line?
I'm sorry?
You changed the route at
yes.
the line?
Yes. Yep.
You talked about third downs maybe being a little bit better. You kind of sparked momentum the second half. The first possession, third and 10, you broke the pocket, you know, made play with your legs. Did you feel kind of pick up after that as far as, hey, we could have punted right there, but now we got a fresh set of downs. Let's do something.
For sure. We need to continue to find ways to stay on the field, and sometimes it's me pulling the ball down and making a play for the offense. They're a really good defense, so they're going to have good calls and match us up really good once in a while. So sometimes you just got to go out there and make plays, whether it be a good run, scrambling, or just making a big catch on third down. So the more times we could find ways to just convert on third down, stay on the field, grind it out, get the defense tired, and stick to our plays and just execute like we know how, I think that's when we could be dangerous and get in a rhythm and continue to score.
You guys, why do you think Jordan found a comfort zone there on that drive that led to his score?
It had to be the O-line up front. They're creating holes for him. And Jordan just had a great mindset today that he wasn't going to be stopped. And when the hole was open, he was going to hit it. He was making guys miss. Guys were bouncing off of him. And he played his tail off today. But a lot of credit's got to go to the O-line up front, moving guys, creating holes, and everyone just doing their job and being on the same page. So it was a great day running the ball.
Speaking of your O-line, what's Kyle Long kind of meant to you? Your first couple of years, it's got to be tough seeing him.
Yeah, for sure. That's my guy. He's always had my back, and can't say enough about Kyle, how much he loves this organization and the game of football. So to see your brother go down like that, it hurts. And we just try to pick him up and rally behind him in any way we can. And he knows we love him, and we're just going to hope for the best. But when he comes out, the next guy's got to step up, and we got to play for him and just rally together as a family.
You caught him in a zero look on Tariq's screen. How does it feel to prepare for a potential look, get it, and then to see what happens?
Yeah, it feels great. You see that the play call, and Coach had a great call for that situation, and you see the look pre-snap, and everything just works out post-snap. So that's like a dream scenario for one of the screens that you could just get him on like that, and then we just got to get the ball to our playmakers like Tariq, get him in open space, and he does the rest. But it definitely feels good going to the line of scrimmage when they're showing zero. They bring it, and then you gash them like that.
Mitch, what is your job on that play, just in terms to let it develop and make sure that he gets the ball? What do you focus on?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely set the defense. The coach calls it, I'm the bait on that play, so you want the D-line to rush so nobody peels back and put my eyes in a different spot to try to move defenders and just make sure everyone rushes me and we can get the lineman out in front of Tariq and by any means get Tariq the ball. So you got to do your job on screens, get the ball to the playmakers, and let it develop and do the rest, and that was a huge play for us.
Ball security today, what were some of the elements that went into it going in your favor?
Yeah, for sure. Just mindset, taking care of the football, two hands on the football. Just when you're running, just take care of yourself, take care of the ball, and get down. Keep that aggressive mindset and just keep it on our side. So, I mean, always 100% ball security is always in the back of our minds.
How big of a factor did the wind end up being today?
It was all right on a couple throws. You just deal with it how you can. I mean, it's going to be windy in Chicago, but we love playing here at Soldier Field, and then we're going to protect it with everything we got. And sometimes it's gusty, sometimes it's not. You just got to adjust how it is in every single throw and just put the ball where it needs to go and go from there.
Mitch, what are you going for Halloween?
I'm dressed up as a legend, Coach Dicka. So I wouldn't call it a costume. I'd say I dressed as a legend. So I'm usually not big into Halloween, but I had a little something brewed up for today. So just respecting one of the greats.
Where'd you get all the different parts to the wardrobe?
I own everything but the sweater vest. So my equipment manager, Tony Medlin, came in clutch. He loved the idea and even found some shades to go along with it as well. So
in terms of preparation, this Jets team throws a lot as far as pressure packages, fronts. How much of a challenge relative to the other teams you played does this defense bring?
Yeah, Jets are a really good defense. We got a lot of respect for them and what they're able to do on that side of the ball. And yeah, it was just a testament to our effort and execution today that we were able to put up a bunch of points and a bunch of yards. But they do a great job every single week throwing out different looks, and they have a lot of great athletes on that side of the ball. So not only do they have a bunch of looks, but they know how to execute them well. A lot of times when you have such a huge playbook, you're not great at necessarily one thing, but they're awesome in all their different looks, which makes it hard for offense. So we just adjust and go from there.
Come on, Dan Durkin. We were talking about Halloween.
I know.
You're getting candy in a few days. It's okay.
I thought it was interesting. The whole team and coaching staff was in old school jerseys. Mitch was Dicka.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mitch was the coach.
Ooh.
Nagy, even Nagy had a George Halas jersey on. And Mitch was the coach.
Yeah. I like it. Tie and all. Tight and all. Would you have ripped him if they would have lost? And he's dressed like that.
Oh, he wouldn't have worn that to the podium.
No, you don't think so.
I don't.
What else did he have? He'd probably take off the vest.
I'm sure he had a suit with him or something.
Yeah.
Well, his tie. Actually, you know, I was a Bears.
Yeah. You know, I actually hope he didn't have anything else. But you know, be a little confident. I had no problem with him doing that. None whatsoever.
It was kind of fun to see those tweets last night come up. I mean, kind of a fun team bonding thing the night before a game.
Yeah.
Everyone, the whole team got jerseys. It was fine.
A lot of Peytons. A lot of Peytons.
No, I didn't. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't too concerned about that today. It's not like
okay.
I went digging on the whole story.
Neither did I.
Did they get to request the jerseys? Like, how are they?
Oh, I'm sure Team Med was working overtime. Tony Medlin, the Bears equipment manager. That's where Trubisky got his attire.
But, like, did they know the jerseys were coming, or was it a complete surprise? I don't know.
Nah, I don't know.
We'll have to do some investigative journalism for Thursday.
That's a Pat Finley piece coming down the line. Yeah. Either way. I like that he's willing to wear that, be a bit confident coming into a game that they should have won and did win.
All right. Before we get out of here, and maybe we should play Nagy, too. I have to do a payoff on something that we should have done like a few weeks ago, but our guy Bob Dabrowski had this very important question in our live show last month. At least important to him.
Oh, you did the investigative? Okay, play Nagy, then you're going to get to this. Okay.
Play Nagy now?
Yeah. Does Nagy have an answer on it?
No. Unrelated.
Yes.
But I got
very unrelated.
Answer.
Okay.
I got the answer.
Okay. Play Nagy.
All right.
And then give make our boy Bob Dabrowski listen. To Nagy first.
Okay. Okay, fine. Fair enough. And I'm sure we'll hear about it on the voicemails this week. All right, here's Matt Nagy after the Bears' victory over the Jets.
What are you laughing at?
I appreciate the George Hill.
That's right. All right. How you guys doing?
Take a photo.
You doing good? Go ahead, take a photo. All right, start off with Broniker. Broniker had a concussion, so we'll obviously have to see how that goes with him. And then with Kyle Long, he had a right foot, so we'll know more here as we go throughout the next couple days and get that looked at. But unfortunately, that happened at the end of the game, so we'll know more here as we go. I thought overall for the team, we came out and we started fast. Defensively, I thought it was really good to be able to try to stop the run. That was one of our big things going into this, was stop the run, and that'll set up some other downs and distances. And so they did that. We had a total of 6 3 and outs, which is good. Offensively, started out good, running the football a little bit. We stalled there in the red zone and had the unfortunate missed field goal. And in the first half, you know, just we weren't really clicking. We were a little off. But we came in at halftime, made some adjustments, and I thought what I was most impressed with the offense was being able to respond after the touchdown that they had. It was they made it a 7-point game, 17-10, and we came back and had an 8-play drive for 79 yards and had five first downs. So those are the type of things that I like to see from our offense, is responding and growing. And there's going to be growing pains with the other stuff. And so I was also happy for Jordan to come out here and play well. I know it was we use the phrase persistence over resistance. That's a good defense we played, and for us to be able to stay with the run, and then he broke that 24-yard run there at the end. That's what we like, in those situations. Chew up some first downs. They use their timeouts, and so I was happy for him. And we can all get better there. We still need to get better in the run game for sure. Other than that, they focused on what we talked about, being aggressive and finishing. Finish was a big thing, and then protect Soldier Field. So.
That obviously Kyle's had some issues with that right ankle in the past. Is it a re-aggravation of that? Do you know at this point?
I don't think so. I don't think that's what it happened at the end of the game there. So I know he was in some pain, but again, we won't know the exact details here until the next couple of days when he gets it looked at.
Was the screen touched on as an example of a perfect call against a perfect defense?
Well, they brought cover zero there, so having a screen versus cover zero, usually they work out pretty well. There's times where, I'm going to go back to Tariq on that play. When you bring cover zero, they have a bunch of safeties and linebackers that are blitzing, or second level guys that are blitzing, and it's hard to get through the weeds to get to the flat. And he did that, and he has a good knack for that. The other part that was hard is you got to be able to make a touch pass over top some defenders that know you're throwing it. And he made a nice, what we call a free throw pass over the top. Caught the ball. Now, the other part that was great, other than the offensive line, was Taylor Gabriel's block down the sideline. So it goes from a 30-yard gain to whatever it was, 70-yard gain for a touchdown. Those are fun to teach when you're watching that tape, because it's across the board great effort. That was a big play, to have that touchdown and get the lead and play from ahead, and then have our defense go ahead and come out and do a great job, getting three and outs and getting the offense the ball back.
What went into the decision to sit Mac, and when was it made?
Yeah, no, this morning. I mean, literally hour to hour for us. That's where we're at with this. I told you that a few days ago, and I'm telling you, this is something, trust me, he wants to be out there, and you know that from his history of playing. But this morning we talked to him, and we just talked to our trainers, and it was just something where we just felt like, you know what, for him and for our team, it's the best thing to just let him sit this one. And so, fortunately we came out with the win, but that's just how it goes.
The hope that he could go next week. This isn't a setback or anything like that.
No. Yeah. The hope is that he can, but again, this is a day by day, daily, hour by hour. It's one that I really haven't been a part of before, just because of where he's at. And so, it could be a similar situation. But I just think right now that was what was best for him and what was best for us. And we had guys that stepped up. I think that's the other thing that you can't get lost in this is when a great player like Khalil or another player like Allen doesn't play, we have guys that step up, and I'm proud of our guys for doing that and understanding that, knowing that, hey, here we go. It's my time, and next man up.
Touchdown pass to Miller.
Say that again.
What did you like about Mitch's touchdown pass to Miller?
Well, so what I like, there was some drop eight down there. So anytime you drop eight, it was the opposite of cover zero. So now they're rushing three guys, and they have an extra defender. And it's a good defensive call for him in that situation. When that happens, now it's not about the play, it's about the players. And that's exactly what happened there. The quarterback made a hell of a throw. Anthony made a hell of a catch. They adjusted, threw it back shoulder. That's in my world, that's a special throw. That's one of those special throws, and at a time where you need that, you can't come away with three. So I was really proud of those guys for that.
How would you assess Jordan Howard's game today?
Yeah, I was saying it earlier. I thought that this was like the true definition of persistence over resistance for him and for our offensive line. We know we got to get better with our running backs and with our offensive line. Take the quarterback runs out of it. We got to get better in a run game. I don't know exactly. I can't tell you, again, talking about the pass game, when it's going to exactly click. But we're going to keep fighting and trying. And so what I liked was he had a bunch of runs there where he just kept chewing up a couple yards here or there. You weren't really feeling it. And then, boom, he popped it in four-minute type mode, that 24-yard run. And that's refreshing for him. It's refreshing for the line. It's refreshing for us. And you know, I was proud of him. I don't know. I think he had, what, 22 carries. And so we just keep plugging away. But I'm really proud of him.
It seemed like Mitch was a little bit more on point in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Tell what was the reason for that difference?
No, I don't know exactly. You know, I think for all of us, you know, the mentality of just coming back out, it was you know, we felt like we were just off a tick in the first half. So everyone's got to reel it in a little bit and come out and just be a little bit more detailed. Myself included has to be more detailed. And I thought we toned it up a little. The guys were focused. And again, I'm going to go back to, if there's one key drive in that game, it was scoring a touchdown after they had their touchdown for the offense.
Your first possession in the second half, 3rd and 10, you start at the 45-yard line. You're potentially looking at punter. Mitch scrambles, deferred, and all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That seemed like the offense picked it up after that play. I mean, Sparky played.
Yeah.
Kind of got everybody else going.
Yeah, that's a weapon for us. And so you saw early on in the game they were spying him. And they were they did a couple drop eight defenses and had him spy, which is normal. Teams will do it. If you catch them when they're not doing that, that's the weapon. And so if you're going to double guys downfield or you're going to take away some players, then he has the ability to run. He did that, and I agree with you. I thought that was the momentum of the drive. I mean, because if you don't get that, you punt, right? And now it's totally different.
Coach, what do you think Mitch is balance-wise as far as standing in the pocket, reading those matchups versus using his legs?
Yeah, no, he understands that he's a passer first. He's not looking to run. But if he needs to run, he can. And I thought his balance was good. I thought that he did a good job. He wasn't looking to. But, again, that one play specifically, he did it. And then you also saw on that 4th and 1, we were able to get him outside the edge as well. And, we barely got it. But, in that situation, it's going to be close.
Matt, when you were still getting your arms around this thing back in March and April, what was your initial sense of what Kyle Long means to this team and this franchise?
So coming into this with Kyle, I obviously didn't know him personally, but I know the first time I saw him, I said, damn, that's a huge individual right there. That's a big boy there. And then you see how athletic he is, and then you see his personality, who he is as a person. He's been unbelievable in the team meetings. He's been unbelievable as a leader for that offensive line. And so I'm very happy with how he's been playing, and you know, we just keep our fingers crossed that everything's okay.
Whose idea was this whole jersey thing?
What's that?
Whose idea was the whole jersey thing?
It was our whole organization. We have some people that started, you know, we all started discussing it and put our minds together, and that's what's so cool about the people in this organization is it's not just one person. And I think that's it. Just you feel what this stuff means to our guys. And so once we decided to go ahead with this idea and present the team last night with the jerseys, you could feel kind of the family feel within the players for not only us in that room, but also everybody that's come through and put on this jersey. And so it was cool. The guys liked it. I'm glad we came out and got the win.
Why Halas Super Ditka?
Well, I'm not answering that. Good question, though. All right, see ya.
So one of the things in there from Nagy that I think is interesting is how he continues to talk about waiting for the offense to break out. You could tell it's just still not all there. And I don't know if it's going to happen this year. But if it does, watch out.
I think it happens. It will happen against the Bucks in a sense, but the Bucks are bad.
Right.
Everybody scores points against the Bucks. They're kind of a dumpster fire right now. You know, Fitzmagic is back.
Well, and I still think it was
right?
Pretty important to get the output you got against the Patriots last week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to have opportunities to put up some points against the Lions. You are. You really are the 49ers. So there's going to be opportunities to have that breakout game. But a lot of these games coming up, the Vikings, the Rams.
The Bills have a good defense.
The Bills, yeah.
Their defense isn't bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're on the road, so you're going to have to grind out some of these wins. But, yeah, you know, I think it's there. Yeah, a lot of it's on Trubisky, but again, people need to realize this is going to be his 8th game next week in this new system. Not everything is perfect. He did not play all that much in college. Last year was we'll just call it last year. It's going to take some time, but the signs are there. Romo clearly saw the signs. Nagy feels the signs. I think Trubisky feels the signs. I think the receivers kind of feel the signs. We'll have to wait and see.
And on the other side of the football, I thought it was interesting. I don't think we need to play this, so I'll just reference it. But Akeem Hicks made a point today of mentioning and reminding everyone what we've been talking about and what we haven't really been able to figure out, because Hicks said, you know, we were a top 10 defense before Mac got here. It's almost like they had something to prove today with Mac not on the field, because we've been talking about this for the last couple weeks. How could just Mac's ankle injury make this defense regress so much, especially from a tackling standpoint, because they were good before he got here? And you know what? The pass rush still wasn't really there today.
No.
But that was a storyline.
Leonard Floyd was close, but not close enough.
Still not close enough. And that was a storyline all through the preseason before the Mac trade was made. And this, what we saw today, this is actually what I expected the defense to look like this year before the Mac trade. Good tackling, not giving up too many explosive plays, but they were going to have problems getting sacks, rushing the quarterback, because they just didn't have enough firepower.
Yeah, that's a good description.
But good enough to win.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw today. Now, hopefully, Mac gets healthy, and you do have that firepower to start getting those sacks once again.
Yeah, well, you need someone to help him get those sacks. Leonard Floyd, again, was close. A couple times, Sam Darnold eludes him. Maybe a less mobile quarterback is brought down, but you still want more. You still wonder where Akeem Hicks went. You need him to get to the quarterback more.
Sure.
I mean, Aaron Lynch could still get to the quarterback, too, right? There's other guys that can get the quarterback beyond Sherrick McManus and Bryce Callahan. So you'll have your defensive back blitzes, and you know that's what Vic Fangio likes to do. But yeah, they did what they had to do against an inferior opponent with a rookie quarterback. They did enough to win.
Enough to win. It's kind of like the summary.
I think I've said that like 5 times.
That's the summary of today's game. No question. All right, the Bob Dabrowski thing. So we're at the live show last month, and he's got this very important question for us that he needed answered. And let's see if we can explain this the right way. But imagine a receiver catching the football at the goal line for a possible touchdown, where his body is in the end zone, but it's along the sideline. And the ball, even though he catches it with his hands leaning over the sideline, body in the end zone, the ball never actually crosses the plane.
So, to reiterate, he's in the end zone.
He's in the front corner of the end zone.
But his entire body is in the end zone.
Right.
Except his arms, outstretched arms with the ball, and the ball is outside.
Yeah, the ball end zone never crosses the actual plane in the end zone, okay, because he has to reach out like kind of over the pylon.
Gotcha.
Is that a touchdown? That was the question he was having. This big argument with his buddy.
He's had some money on this or something. It was serious.
I did some research.
What do you got?
I talked to some guys at the NFL. It's not a touchdown.
No. You need the ball to cross the plane?
Ball needs to cross the plane. It's a really rare thing. I can't even think of an example. There must have happened at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he thought it happened in a Northwestern game, did he not? But he was wrong on that. Come on, Bob.
Wrong about that, because...
Well, you're Mr. Sideline.
I think it was a first down.
Yeah.
I think it was a first down play where that may have happened, and he was ultimately not ruled a first down because of that. And I think that was the right call, because if the ball never goes past the first down...
Well, that's the rule. Yeah, well, that applies to the rules. Yeah, in the field.
So same thing on a touchdown.
Okay, all right.
And asked and answered. Took a month.
He's going to be so happy. He just emailed us about it, too.
Well, that's why I remember to bring it up, because he did email us.
He's going to be so happy.
He emailed us about it.
Well, he's right. He was right.
Was he on this side of
the
argument?
He was on this side. He was on the no touchdown side.
All right. Congratulations, Bob. All right. We should get out of here. Bears get the victory.
Bills are next.
4-3. The Lions lost to the Seahawks. I told you they were just due for a Lions loss. There was no other analysis there that I had. It was just, it felt like it was
Lions
due.
Will lose.
So that game in 2 weeks here at Soldier Field, that's one you absolutely have to win. You can't lose to the Lions at home this year. Next two games, let's be honest, anything short of 6-3 I think is a disappointment.
Okay.
We'll talk about it this week. Buffalo It's Buffalo week. Bears go to Buffalo for the first time in a really, really long time because the last game against the Bills on the road was in Toronto.
Ooh, it is a really long time.
Yeah. It should be a fun one, but the Bears should be favored. What do you think the line will be?
6.
You think it'll be less than this one today just because they're on the road?
Yeah, you might be right.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's just more 3. Like 9. I'm going to say 9.5.
9.5? You think that? Okay.
I do.
Okay.
Bills are bad.
They are bad. Bills are bad. What, you're saying they had a good defense?
They have a decent defense.
Okay.
Who's playing quarterback again? Defense. Derek Anderson. They play the Patriots tomorrow night. So they'll be on a short week. And after Tom Brady demolishes them. Yikes.
Nice. Should win.
All right, we'll watch that one tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday with our preview episode, Bears Get the Victory Today. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Should mention that voicemail line. You can still call in 312-222-5050. Your reaction from today's game. And Joe will compile all those voicemails for our Thursday preview episode against the Bills. Read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please rate and review the podcast. Subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. We appreciate you doing that. Bears win. See if Khalil Mack comes back this week and if they can beat the Bills on the road, which they should. Talk to you on Thursday.